Now, the weekly papers also carried national advertising. Sometimes it was not always national advertising. It might be only for part of the nation, but it was generally referred to as a national advertising from. And that consisted of a large part, at least, of patent medicine advertising. And the patent medicines that were sold around the turn of the century were wonder workers. No modern wonder drug can equal them. There were patent medicines that would cure anything. All you had to do was drink enough bottles of the medicine or eat enough boxes of the pills, and you'd be cured. Or so the advertising said. And usually there are references or testimonials from users who had suffered from backache, headaches, or some chronic condition for 30 years, and after consuming three or four boxes or bottles of the advertised remedy, they were now cured. Of course, patent medicine was not the only national advertising that the weeklies got. They got their share of advertising for the various packaged groceries, such as corn flakes, baking powder, and so on, furniture polish, automobiles, running shoes, almost anything that was advertised in the daily papers, the weekly got their share of it too. However, that was not enough to make the paper really a financial success. And the weekly papers usually had to take in what was known as job printing. Today, the job printers would call themselves commercial printers, but in those days, they were job printers. And job printing consisted of cards, tickets, handbills, invitations, almost any printed matter other than the newspaper. It might be a fairly large catalog, or it might only be couple of hundred tickets for a dance, but it was still job printing, and the newspapers took it hoping to make a profit on it. Sometimes they did, but since job printing was a very cutthroat proposition, many of the weekly newspapers were printing for a little more than the cost of the materials. Now, probably 1 out of 10 of the weekly newspapers made a profit, a real profit. 2 out of 10 probably made a wage for the owner. And the other 7 existed in various degrees of starvation. Yet the publishers were often very competent men and would have been able to command a fairly good salary or wage had they gone to the city and worked either in the editorial field or in the printing field of some daily paper. However, there were several reasons why they stuck with their small town paper. One thing was, there was a certain amount of social prestige in being the publisher of the local paper. Another was the independence. They were their own boss. And still another reason was the fact that many of them were dedicated like missionaries. If you were to go to the Cannibal Islands and hear a preacher who you figured was a very good preacher, and you were to suggest to him that he might go to the city and get a big church, and the missionary would probably say, well, that would be very nice. But if I leave these poor cannibals, who's going to look after them? I've got to stay and look after my flock here. And many of the newspaper men felt if they didn't give the town a paper, nobody else would. They had to stay in the town and give it a newspaper. Now, the weekly paper usually came out on Wednesday or Thursday. It carried, besides the local news, sometimes they were able to take from some of the daily papers articles of local interest, which they would publish. Now, the farmer came into town usually on a Saturday night, picked up his paper, did his shopping, and in many cases, he'd go to the local saloon and have a few drinks with the boys and then drive back to his farm. Now, on Sunday, that was his day of rest. He only had to do about one hard day's work on Sunday, not a bit extra. because he had to feed the stock. There were many things that he had to be done on Sunday that even though he wanted a day of rest and wanted to respect the Sabbath, he was still stuck with a certain amount of work that he could not avoid. And then if he had any time, he'd sit down and read the weekly paper and get his news. And in those days, there was no mail delivery in the country. Mail came to the nearest town post office, and the farmer had to pick up his mail there. As time went on, they gradually did extend the rural mail services to the country districts, in which case the mail carried the newspaper out to the farmer. Now, there have been several newspapers in Burnaby, and the one that I can have the best memory of is the Burnaby Post, which was published in Edmonds. And it was a very small paper. It generally ran 8 pages, but they were small pages. But they did carry the Burnaby Municipal News as well as most of the news of the southern half of Burnaby, the southern and eastern part of Burnaby. And the Burnaby Post existed up to about 1937, and then, of course, it had to close down, probably due to the general business conditions, the Depression, which closed down many bigger and better papers than the Burnaby Post. In North Burnaby, for many years, there was the Burnaby Broadcast, a weekly paper. It was not a country paper, but it was still a neighborhood paper. Carried the news of North Burnaby. Now this press is what we call a flatbed cylinder press. And these were used in the last century and in much of this century for newspapers and for book printing. Now, the flatbed cylinder press was invented in 1812 by a German, a man named Koenig. Now Mr. Koenig sold several of his presses, I'm not sure how many, to the London Times in 1814, and these worked so well that the Times decided to lay off its hand pressmen. Now, the old-style hand press was able to turn out, and this had been improved over the years, but by the early 1800s, two good pressmen with a good hand press could turn out 250 impressions an hour. That is not papers, but just sheets printed on one side. And the hand press was limited to the size of sheets it could take. Now, the Times laid off somewhat over 100 hand pressmen when they put in Mr. Koenig's new presses. The hand pressmen were much like modern men. They did not like new technology to take their jobs. So they decided to do something about it. They came back with sledgehammers and smashed the new presses. And I suppose they went to the publisher and explained to him that his new presses didn't work. He probably agreed and told them back to the hand presses boys. Then he got hold of Mr. Koenig and said, "Now those presses are pretty good. We want them working. If you can repair them, do so. If they're beyond repair, build new ones." Now the next time that the cylinder presses went into operation, they were in a press room protected by heavy doors that could be kept locked, plus guards to see that nobody broke in by force. Within a few years, the flatbed cylinder press was a popular newspaper press. Now, book printers liked them because they could run a big sheet with a number of pages on it, which could be cut and folded afterwards.